You know, why? Because they've rejected the word of the Lord. Now, that's the wisdom that Jesus is talking about, the worldly wisdom that is not wise. But, okay, what about wisdom that is wise? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what?
Wisdom.
So there is a good wisdom, and then there is a bad wisdom. And so keep that in mind as you're reading here in Luke 10:21. The truly wise will hear and receive God's revelation. You may not really think of yourself this way, but if you're here today and you're really here to hear the Word of God, you're really here to learn the Word of God, you are wise.
Amen.
That doesn't mean you won't do something stupid today, but you are wise in God's eyes.
Amen.
Look over Colossians chapter 3. This is a great verse as well. Colossians 3:16. Read that with me. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I love that. But it starts there, in addition to singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, with singing with grace in your hearts. See, it doesn't say you have to actually be able to carry a tune.
Praise God.
Amen. Jessica, you sing really nice. Don't be hard on yourself. But I'm not going to look at anyone in particular, but there are a couple of people here that, you know, have trouble with that. But it blends. Isn't that beautiful? When everybody sings the way they're supposed to, it just blends. And it's wonderful. It's a beautiful thing. I love being in a crowd singing the hymns when I know that it's a bunch of people who love the Lord. But look how verse 16 started. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all what?
Wisdom.
So you see, there is a wisdom that is good, but it's the wisdom of the word of Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And so keep that as a verse to meditate on. But this is an example of how unsaved or backsliders get messed up with the Word of God. Here in the next verse, look again at the another point in that verse, verse 21. It says, and hast revealed them unto babes.
Amen.
Revealed them unto babes. So it means, what he's saying is, spiritually speaking, God's revelation is so direct, simple, true, that even a babe can understand it.
Amen.
God has not made it difficult.
Amen.
I just have to plug this. If you will read the Bible every day,
amen,
and then come to Bible study on a regular basis,
yep,
it will transform you. Now, we've had people come here, they don't read the Bible every day, and they don't actually listen when they're sitting in the pew. Sometimes they're not even looking up here. You know, well, that's not going to affect them. It doesn't work by osmosis. But if you come here with having been in the Word daily, with the Word and prayer, and then you come here and you're listening and you're actually taking note, just try it. I mean, if you're not saved, we need to talk about you being saved.
Amen.
But I believe everyone here makes a profession of faith. If you're saved, be in the Word daily, come here faithfully, just see what happens.
Amen.
See, my problem was when I first got saved, I didn't read the Word the way I ought to. But I didn't, after I moved to Columbus, I'll put it that way. I moved to Columbus, I was still a babe in Christ. This is decades ago, so. But I came up here when I first moved here. I was barely taught. I couldn't find a church that would teach the Bible.
Yep. Amen.
I would go to church after church, and it was either a pep talk, and the guy was like a cool Mr. Rogers kind of guy. You know, it's kind of a strange mix, but that's what they came off to me. Or it was some guy just up there yelling and screaming. And like, oh, my head's going to explode. I can't understand a thing he's saying. I'd come out of there with nothing but a headache. And I mean nothing but a headache. Then I sat under somebody a few years later. I finally was sitting under somebody who's teaching from the King James Bible, teaching it verse by verse. And I was loving it. Then I found some guys on the radio that did that. J. Vernon McGee, you know, is one of them. And listened to him. Another fella, I don't agree with all this theology, but he taught verse by verse through the Bible, named Chuck Smith from Calvary Chapel. I'd listen to him. And then I find some other guys. And then I got a hold of Peter Ruckman. He teaches it to his Bible Institute courses especially, but he also has other verse by verse studies in addition to the videos and things that he puts out. And I just eating it up, man. Couldn't get enough of it.
Amen.
And the strange thing was is how few Christians had that kind of a hunger for God's Word.
Yep.
I felt alone among Christians.
Yep.
But I'd read things like this and I'd see myself kind of, you know, I'm a babe.
Amen.
Although I was learning way more than most Christians around me, I still understood I had a long way to go. 30 years later, I still have a long way to go. But it's the Word of God that is His revelation.
Amen.
People see the word revealed and revelation, they immediately start thinking of, you know, John received the book of Revelation in visions, and yes, that happened. But your revelation is what he wrote. Revelation is in the words of God, not dreams and visions and, you know, whatever. Revelation. It's real simple, but I want to kind of break it down a little bit to you. God's words, as I said. God's words. Right here is his revelation. Don't look for it somewhere else. It's right here. God's words. But you have to take them in context.
Amen.
Jenny Allball knows this rule by heart. What are the three rules for interpretation?
Context.
I knew you could do it.
Amen.
That's where people get lost in the Bible. You take it out of context. That's why God wrote it verse by verse. Gave it to you. That's how you should read it. That's how you should study it. That's how it should be preached and taught. And it's the plain, simple reading. I'll just say this. It's public, so it's not like I'm picking on anybody. But Chuck Smith, I referred to him. His son, Chuck Smith Jr., he was in Calvary Chapel, the last I heard, and he put out a book on the Bible. So I bought it and I started reading it. And what it turned out is he went mystical. And you'd read his book and he's telling you to do all kinds of weird stuff with the Bible to come up with. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. And that, his dad never taught that.
Amen.
And biblical Christianity has never believed that you do things like... I mean, there's this one thing where you're supposed to like read a verse and then zoom in on one word and stare at it. Then there's other people that think you just open the Bible and point. Don't tell me your stories. I know there's people who say, well, I did that once. Oh, fine, fine, you know. But that's not the way to study the Bible.
Amen.
It's not mystical. There are people I met who smoke pot before they read the Bible. Because they claim they've received more revelation that way. I said, I'm sure you do, but that's not the Spirit of God. That's the spirit of Lucifer. Drugs, sorcery, pharmakia, spirit of Antichrist. Of course, when I hear most preachers on TV preach, it sounds like they've been smoking pot. So it might explain a few things. So also there's no initiation. It's not by going through some kind of a ritual or rite or that kind of thing. You know, some denominations have taken communion and turned it into this ritual thing, and that you receive grace through the receiving of the elements and through baptism, which most of them pour water on your head and call it baptism. So it's not even right, you know. And those don't have anything to do with revelation. It comes through God's Word. Also, there's no secret code or skill. There's these guys are all into the Bible codes and stuff like that. And I'm telling you, I used to say, well, that's just not my thing. I think it's totally bogus. I think it's wrong. God never gave us a book intending that using a computer software program we can read it. And learn things you couldn't learn without a computer. But that's what the Bible codes are. And so forth. Oh, and then consensus with believers. In other words, it's not that you... We all learn new things from the Bible. But here's a question. If it's something you learned from the Bible that's brand new, that no one knew for 2,000 years, probably not true. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but you would be the exception that proves the rule. The rule is, we're not learning new revelation. We're learning old revelation that is new to us.
Amen.
And by the way, you'll do that the rest of your life. Secret codes, formulas, contemplative reading, etc. is wicked. But deception comes in the hidden codes. Contrary visions and dreams. All over the YouTube website, all over the internet, are all these people that, I had a dream, I want to share it with you. I had a vision, I want to share it with you. And anybody with an ounce of discernment within 5 minutes of them talking can see they're totally making this up. And yet millions of people eat it up. They won't sit through this kind of Bible study, but man, they eat up the YouTube or on the phone, you know, ooh, you got to see this video. Now, I'm not saying that every YouTube video is wrong. I mean, a few of you have sent me links to YouTube videos, and I'm not talking about it, but I'm talking about those particular ones where, and by the way, I don't use YouTube anymore. Don't send me YouTube links. I won't click on it. They're a bunch of communists. And I only use Rumble, YouTube, Library, LBRY TV, however you pronounce that. I'll use alternatives, but I'm not using that stuff anymore. Don't send me Facebook links, Twitter links. I got better things to do with my time than make a bunch of communists rich so they can use that money against me. Yep. Unconfirmed claims. There are people who will make these claims and then expect you just to accept it because, hey, I got it from studying the Bible. Now, wait a minute. I'm supposed to, as a Berean, test you. And then you, as a Berean, are supposed to want to be tested. And then if I can say, well, that's not really what it is, then you say, oh, wow, I didn't know that. Thanks for helping me. That's what it means, the iron sharpens iron thing. But a lot of Christians get real touchy if you question their revelation. And then demands for blind adherence. There are some preachers who get up here and say whatever, and you're not allowed to question it. I tell you to question everything that comes out of my mouth. The only time I tell you you shouldn't question it is when you confirm it in this book. That's when it's God's word, not Greg's word. And, of course, the new revelation claim. So back to Luke 10, verse 22. After saying that, it says, Jesus is speaking, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will what?
Reveal him.
Now, Jesus is saying up to this point, again, the context, he's saying that up to this point, the revelation of who he is really between him and the Father. Even his own disciples, every time he talks about being crucified, buried, and risen again, they have no idea what he's talking about. So it's up to that point. Look over 1 Corinthians, though. Now we have God's Word revealing to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And beginning verse 6. Howbeit we speak what?
Wisdom.
So there's good wisdom, biblical wisdom, among them that are perfect, meaning complete, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. See, there's the dichotomy, the difference. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. But here's the thing, it's not hidden anymore. Paul is saying that this is wisdom that was hidden, but now that's the whole purpose of him writing, is to give you that wisdom. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And then if that's the context of this verse, you hear quoted a lot. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Why? Verse 10. But God hath what?
Revealed
them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now continue reading. I know this is a little lengthy, but get it. It's so important for understanding our text this morning. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now, read verse 12 out loud. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And then verse 13, read that. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You see, this isn't a mystery anymore. It's revealed it to us in the Word. And the only way you're going to get that is if you will read your Bible and attend a Bible teaching church. Amen. That's God's plan. That's how He set it up. And you have to be saved. That's what verse 14 says. Read it with me. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And we'll stop there and go back to Luke 10. You have to be saved and have the Spirit of God in you. But then verse 22 says, one page too far. Verse 22 says, to whom the Son will reveal him. Again, this is not esoteric. It's not mystical. It's those who want the revelation. It's freely at your disposal. Being saved, having the Holy Spirit in you, when you read the Word of God in context, handling it, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Jesus is revealed to us in the four Gospels. Matthew 1:1 begins with the words, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. He's about to reveal Jesus to you. Mark 1:1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's about to reveal Jesus to you. Luke 1 doesn't mention Jesus directly, but he says, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. About who?
Jesus.
And John begins, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who's the Word?
Jesus.
So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you verse by verse through those, you receive the revelation of Jesus Christ. Also, Jesus is revealed to us in the epistles of Paul. Just one example for time, Romans 16:25. We read, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was, past tense, kept secret since the world began. He's saying it's been a mystery. It is a mystery no more. You have the revelation of Jesus Christ in your hands when you hold the King James Bible in English.
Amen.
If you don't speak English, we'll talk about another Bible for you.
Amen.
But Jesus is also revealed to us in the general epistles. 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, the Word of life. Who is the Word of life?
Jesus.
And what are the first words of the book called? The revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The revelation of Jesus Christ. See how that works? You have all these Christians running around looking for all this wild stuff and they don't even... I was having a conversation with 3 or 4 people this week about this very thing. It came up. I didn't bring it up. It just happened to be studying to teach this. And they talk about, you know, all these people out there saying all this crazy stuff. And my advice is just turn them off. Just turn them off and open your Bible. Let the Word of God, John in his first epistle, says that we all have the same anointing. We don't have any need that man teach us. The church with teachers is a gift and a blessing over and above the Spirit of God in you and the Word of God in front of you.
Amen.
So closing back in Luke 10, verses 23 and 24 says, and he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. If you're into the crazy stuff or if you're not opening your Bible, you don't have eyes to see.
Yep.
But if you're in the Word, Jesus was revealing exactly what you have in your Bible. Prophets didn't see? That's a big question. He says, prophets. Read verse 24. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. They were the prophets. They're the ones that gave us the prophecies about Jesus and gave us prophecies even that are being fulfilled before our eyes in the end times and everything. How could they? But see, they spoke God's word. That doesn't mean they understood it. They were reporters, basically. We don't know what that is today because there are very few real ones around. But they are messengers who repeated God's words to people in a day when they didn't have a Bible. Even when Paul is writing, there's no Bible. You didn't look at the synagogue and all the Jews walking with a Bible in their arms. Didn't happen. And they did not understand much of what they repeated. Those prophets would repeat the word of God. That's why Jesus said John the Baptist was the greatest prophet. But then he said he's the least in the kingdom. You've got what John the Baptist didn't even have. Amen. The complete word of God. Amen. Back in Matthew 11:11, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Amen. Why? You got it right in your hands. That's why. You got the Spirit of God indwelling you. Your names are written in heaven. I believe John's name was written in heaven, but he did not have an indwelling, permanent, sealed spirit the way you do, and he did not have the book. That's why he sent his disciples, you remember, to ask Jesus to make sure he was the right one. Why? He didn't have what you and I have for assurance. Amen. In 1 Peter 1:10, Peter said this, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." The prophets were like, "Okay, I said this. What in the world does it mean?" And God chose not to even tell them a lot of times what they were even prophesying. "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see." And I just want to ask in closing, do you even comprehend this blessing? I admit to you, there's times where I feel guilty. I really haven't appreciated what God has given us. He's under no obligation to do this, folks. He's under no obligation to even save you, even if you believe in the gospel. So why do you think you're saved? Because he said so. Amen. Because he's proved that he cannot lie. He does not deceive. He said he will save you. He will save you. And then you understand he has told you that if you will read his word, be in his word, study his word, he gave you a local church with Bible teachers. He's given you all kinds of other help in addition to good books and videos that can help you and assist you. We have it so made. But I'm afraid a lot of people don't comprehend this blessing. That's where we'll pick up next time.
Yes.
He gave us 66 books. Most Christians have never read them all. Some Christians have been saved for longer than I have and still haven't read them all. There are 783,167 words in your King James Bible. Sadly, most Christians may have read 100,000 of those words. And until you master the book, don't look for hidden knowledge elsewhere. It should be a rule in every Christian's life, until I have mastered the Bible, I'm not going elsewhere, whether it's internet or, you know, dreams and visions or whatever. Guess what? That means you'll never go there. I mean, I'm not boasting. I just want you to understand there's other people here and others online who can say the same thing. I've been reading this book for 30 years. And every time I pick it up, I'm like, Jenny and I, we read together at night. I know some of you with kids and everything, that can be difficult. But once you put them to bed, maybe be able to read together. How many times we're reading and you'd think it's the first time we read the book. Because we're reading it and all of a sudden I'm like, wow. we'll get done reading and she'll go, "Now let's go back to what we read back in and we'll talk about it." We read it first. Don't stop. Just read through. Don't stop and talk about it until you're done. But then that's all so exciting because then it gets really difficult to wait. You're reading this stuff and you're like, you really want to talk about it. But let's keep reading until we get done. Yeah, and we're in Leviticus. A lot of people were starting that and they're like, but man, there's some good stuff in there. You gotta, you know, hang tough. Read it and keep reading it, but there's some good stuff.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus Christ.